is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for Calaveras and Tuolumne County, and I'm here with Linda Reevely, who is our past president of the Tuolumne Master Gardeners, and so involved in one of the founders of Over the Garden Gate. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And last week, we might have been scared a little bit because of last week's show.
I know. I talked to you for a rather long time about the dangerous things that can happen to you while you're gardening that you need to watch out for. So today, I would like to talk to you about the joys and wonders of gardening and how it can really make your health better.
Oh, good, good. So all the benefits,
all
the good stuff that can happen from gardening.
And as you obviously know, gardening is just purely enjoyable for the most part. The planning, the executing, the seeing of what happens over the course of the season, the harvesting of flowers and vegetables and fruit, it's all wonderful and lovely. But gardening has some other advantages that are a little less obvious. So let's talk about some of those.
Okay, so just kind of curious, what do you think is one of them?
Vitamin D exposure.
Okay.
We all know that we need vitamin D. After all, they put it in milk, so we must need it, and we mustn't be getting enough of it. And where do we get it from? The sun.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it's free.
It's free. And vitamin D isn't directly absorbed from the sun. It actually happens as a chemical reaction between the oil on the surface of your skin and sunlight.
And say that again.
Yeah. It's a chemical reaction between the oils on the surface of your skin and sunlight.
And sunlight.
And the paler your skin is, the more quickly that reaction occurs.
Okay.
And so pale skin people probably don't need to be out quite as much as darker skin people to get the same effect.
Oh, be darned.
But we all need vitamin D to make our bones strong, to keep our teeth in their sockets as we age, and to generally make us feel good.
Well, you convinced me. But now, how does that work? Because last week we talked about using sunscreen. So should we maybe limit the sunscreen to a certain percentage? Because there's percentages that are all over the board.
Well, sunscreen does not totally eliminate vitamin D production.
Okay.
Because sunscreen only blocks certain rays.
Okay.
And it's some of the other rays that actually help to produce the vitamin D. So sunscreen is still a really good bet. But if you happen to be out gardening for 10 or 15 minutes and you don't get sunburned like, you know, turning into a giant red apple, you could probably go without sunscreen for short chores.
Oh, okay.
But the rest of the time you should obviously wear it. Now, an Italian study in 2014 that was published in the National Institutes of Health website found that exposure to sunlight helps older adults achieve adequate serum vitamin D levels. So if you garden or go for walks or ride your bike or some of those things, you can get your vitamin D in your blood up high enough to help keep your bones strong.
Oh, wonderful.
And remember, vitamin D is a vital component in bone strength and growth. Our bones are constantly being remodeled, meaning old parts of our bones are dissolving while newer parts of our bones are being built up. The bone you had 6 months ago is not the bone you're walking around on today.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that great?
It is.
It's so cool. I love that. And bone remodeling is a really important factor as we age because it tends to slow down.
Okay.
And then our bones become more brittle because the old parts that aren't being dissolved and replaced by younger, more bendable, I guess you could say, bone parts.
Okay, so vitamin D is really critical.
So vitamin D is really critical in our health as we age. So even for young people, because we obviously put vitamin D in milk for children,
right.
Vitamin D is a pretty critical chemical to have in your body, and one that you can get through gardening.
Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that great?
That is wonderful.
Now, speaking of things that happen to people as they get older, there is dementia.
Oh.
And I know we all stand terrified
in the idea
that dementia might be waiting for us.
Yes.
And we all want to do things to help prevent dementia from happening to us and to our parents and to our loved ones as they age. Gardening has a kind of effect that helps us prevent dementia, or at least put it off, perhaps. And in 2006, a study found that gardening can actually lower your risk by 36%.
That's huge.
It is.
That is huge.
It's over a third. It's wonderful.
That is good news. Today it's all good news.
The researchers tracked more than 2,800 people over the age of 60 for 16 years, and they concluded that physical activity, particularly gardening, could reduce the incidence of dementia in future years for those people.
Oh my gosh, why is that?
Hard to say. Obviously, involvement.
Okay.
And forcing your brain to do tasks that aren't always the ones right in front of you, say like television, and involve a little more thinking, like gardening, plays a part in it.
Mm-hmm.
But probably as much as anything, it's blood flow.
Okay.
And you get better
blood flow
when you're exercising and moving.
Okay, right.
And gardening is a really pretty gentle way
to get that
kind of exercise.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
I love it.
Anything that can prevent dementia is
yes.
a good thing in my book.
Yes.
Mood can be improved by gardening.
Well,
your overall daily mood.
Yeah, so if you maybe do a little bit of gardening in the morning, that maybe that might carry over for the rest of the day?
Yeah, make you feel happier and more confident about what's happening in your life. A study in the Netherlands that was cited by CNN said that gardening fights stress better than any other hobby. They had participants participate in a stressful activity, something that made them uncomfortable and nervous, and they really had to work hard at it. And then they told them to either go outside and do a little gardening for 30 minutes or stay inside and read.
Really?
Divided the groups.
Right.
And the ones that went outside and were gardening and doing a little bit of physical activity and looking at the gardens and enjoying what they were seeing, found that their stress hormone, cortisol, was reduced considerably over the people who sat inside and read.
Oh my gosh, that's phenomenal.
Isn't that great?
That is.
So gardening can help your mood and make you feel less stressed, or can help you recover from an event that is stressful.
Ah, so it can help you recover if you've been involved in an event that's stressful, just as this study showed.
Exactly. So if you have something happen in your life that's just really got you right on the edge, perhaps going out and gardening for a half hour could make you feel a lot better.
That's a great idea. And I'm already planning my day. I'm going to do a little bit of gardening in the morning. I'm also going to do a little bit of gardening in the evening, and then I'm going to go read my book. Because
exactly.
We still want to read.
We do. We all want to read those books. I love my books. Now, you were mentioning talking before we began the radio show about exercise.
Right.
And gardening is obviously some exercise. We shovel and we push things around and we smooth out the soil with rakes, and we sometimes move bags of soil, rocks, things around in
all
our garden.
All that good stuff.
All that stuff. It's all exercise.
Yes.
And we looked at some numbers on how many calories you could burn an hour, and just general gardening, pulling weeds, planting flowers, planting seeds, light activity like that, can burn 200 to 300 calories an hour.
Wow.
Which is not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Now, raking and activities like cleaning up the ground, putting leaves in bags, raking leaves, maybe raking gravel a bit to clean it up, That can be 300 to 450, 350 to 450.
That's a lot of calories.
That's a lot of calories.
That could burn off lunch.
It could. Just an hour of raking could help get you right through what you had for lunch. Now, lawn mowing, even with a powered mower, will burn 250 to 350 calories an hour.
I never even thought of that.
Because you have to push the mower around and direct it where you want it to go.
Okay.
And you're walking.
Oh, that's right. You're walking. And I know so many people are very aware of how many steps they're walking during
the day.
They're actually counting them.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to do that.
So if you wanted to increase the calorie burn, you could trade out your power mower for a push mower, and that moves it up another 100 calories an hour. So you could be burning 450 calories an hour by mowing with a push mower.
And when we talk about a push mower, we're talking about the old-fashioned mower with no engine.
Right. The one that's called a reel mower, R-E-E-L, because it goes around in a circle.
Right.
And you push it and it goes...
Right. Everybody remembers those.
Remember that noise?
Yes.
And push mowers are wonderful things and kind of fun to use. Be careful with them around little children because they work best if you keep the blade sharp.
Right, right, absolutely.
But certainly I pushed a mower around quite a bit when I was a kid, and I know my child did too.
And I have to admit, I've got a few. I really like them. I don't know why I keep collecting them, but there's all different types.
Yeah.
But they have really improved on the push mowers.
They have new push mowers. They're made out of lighter weight metals.
They are. You can cut more grass. You can cut more accurately, and because it is a real mower, I mean the way it turns, it really can cut the grass quite well.
Yeah, I understand that as opposed to the kind of lawnmower where the big blade goes around in a flat circle.
Yes,
that the real mower where the blade goes around and catches the grass between a bar and the blade itself is much healthier for the grass, and that you're less likely to have fungus and other problems with your grass.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Because it's a healthier, it's a healthier way to cut the grass
to
itself. It doesn't just beat it to death, it actually cuts it.
It does.
Now, speaking as old mower users, I'm pretty sure that you will advise this too. It helps if you do it a little more frequently.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Push mowers are not easy to work in tall grass.
Well, I have to admit, it can be almost impossible.
Yeah. It can.
So don't even bother.
Right. But if you use it regularly, a push mower is a great technique.
Right, right. It
now,
is.
Now, back to the even heavier things. Okay, now my garden needs some rocks moved, and I bought home 5 bags of potting soil in the back of my car. When you do those kinds of jobs that involve heavy lifting and moving heavier objects around, that can burn up to 600 calories an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I'm not sure how you do that for a full hour, but...
Well, if you're spreading pea gravel with a wheelbarrow...
That, exactly, or...
I mean, that's usually...
Pulling gravel out of the back of the pickup or something with a shovel.
Right.
You can burn 600 calories
hour.
That's amazing.
That is.
And gardening is...
That means you wouldn't have to go to the gym.
That's right.
I mean, you could be in your yard.
Yeah. And they say that gardening is a perfect aerobic exercise because you become so involved in the gardening that you don't realize you're exercising.
Oh, so it's not a chore.
It's not a chore anymore.
I love that. Who likes doing chores anyway?
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of a psychologist, an American psychologist with a wonderful name. His name is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, and he worked out of Tulane University. And he was really interested in what makes people happy.
No, I'm not familiar, but I should be.
You should. The science of happiness. And so to figure out what it was that actually made people happy, he recruited students initially in the first groups, and he gave them an envelope that had a lot of forms in it.
Okay.
And what were those things called? Pagers. Way before cell phones, he gave him a pager.
Yeah, I used to have one.
And the pager would ring, and it would have a number on it, and that was the form you were supposed to get out of the envelope and fill out.
Okay.
And if you did it at the time, you got paid for it. And you, the form is basically asked a number of questions, but basically, what are you doing right now, and what do you feel about it, and how involving is it, and how difficult is it, and just a lot of questions. What they found out is that when we are engaged in a task that's just difficult enough to be interesting, but difficult enough too that we have to really focus our attention on it,
mm-hmm.
such as gardening,
okay,
we enter something that he began to call flow.
Oh, F-L-O-W. Yeah.
You've heard of flow.
Oh, sure.
Getting into the flow.
Right, getting into the flow, absolutely.
Right, and it didn't actually come from getting into the river.
Uh-huh.
It came into getting into this state where you weren't aware of yourself.
Oh.
You were acutely aware of the activity you were doing.
Right.
And people reported time and time again, from little younger people to very elderly people, that when that happened, mm-hmm. when they were engaged in an activity that was so interesting that they forgot themselves,
oh.
that they were happy.
That is how to be happy.
Yeah. Isn't
wow.
that interesting?
You solved it for me, finally.
I know. But just getting, I mean, sometimes people will report when they're driving on a mm-hmm. curving road, it's so engrossing.
Right.
That when you get down and you can actually think about it again, you're kind of going, oh, that was kind of nice.
Oh, that also answers
good.
Why I like to
drive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because it can help put you in flow.
And gardening. I love gardening.
Gardening's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting and active enough that you forget yourself.
Oh.
And when we focus on ourselves, we tend to be unhappy.
I'll be darned.
You know, have you ever had a moment when you focused on yourself and said, oh my gosh, I'm perfect?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either. So getting out of yourself, and you know, your mom used to say that when you were a kid, but she was wise.
Yeah.
Getting out of yourself is the real key to
mm-hmm.
being happy.
I'll be darned.
Whether it's working for other people or helping
mm-hmm.
other people or working in your garden or
right.
doing handwork of some sort. It's a great way to be happy.
And I'm going to point out that I know some of our master gardeners are really happy because they not only are working in their garden, but then the food that they're growing, they actually give away.
That's right.
So they're, you know.
So you get benefits a couple different ways
right,
from it that
right.
make you happy.
Yeah.
So it's enjoyable.
Yes.
It makes you happy.
Aww.
Gardening.
And now then, we know why.
Yeah, and here's the last one, and I think this one is real interesting in light of the other things we've said today. It helps combat loneliness, gardening.
Really?
Isn't that just interesting?
But if you're by yourself gardening, and
I know. Doesn't now you're wondering how is this going
to
work?
I'm trying to figure this out.
What they found out is that after retirement, many people have a hard time finding activities that connect them with other people.
Okay.
They become lonely and isolated.
Okay.
Because they don't have a way to connect with other people. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that community gardens are collaborative projects on shared open spaces where participants join together in maintenance and products of the garden, including the healthful and affordable fresh fruits and vegetables. The clue here.
Uh-huh.
They are working with other people at the community garden.
Aww.
They talk, they work together,
uh-huh.
they engage one another,
right.
and build relationships and friendships.
Aww,
and
lovely.
Another thing that does that are organizations such as ours,
sure.
Master Gardeners.
Yes.
We see many retired people decide that becoming a Master Gardener would be a good idea.
We do.
And then we find that we have done this to ourselves and to each other, swept all of us up into this collaborative effort to accomplish various projects, whether it's offering advice to our friends and neighbors at advice tables,
mm-hmm.
such as the one we have at the farmery and at the Sonora Farmers
right,
Market,
right.
and some others that we're looking forward to having to this coming year, whether we're helping keep the Fair Triangle, that little plot of land right
mm-hmm.
in front of our fairgrounds here in Tuolumne County, beautiful. They work together to do that, a group of our master gardeners.
They do. They have so much fun.
And they do. It's always, it
and
was always fun.
And when we have
you
our open garden,
fun.
It's fun to be in the garden, and it's fun being with your friends.
In our demo
in the garden.
Garden.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun to work in the demonstration garden. We enjoy that. Our master gardeners all develop new friendships with people they would not meet otherwise.
They do.
And sometimes lifelong friendships.
Yes.
And so it helps combat loneliness.
Oh, I love that.
So gardening is a good thing.
It is.
And it's worthwhile really considering doing it for yourself and for your community and your family and also for food.
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing beats fresh fruit from your garden.
No, that is the best. That really is.
Tomato still warm from the vine.
Oh.
And the way the tomato leaves smell and then the tomato tastes, it's just marvelous.
It is wonderful. It is. That is the best.
Picking berries. Oh, I love picking berries. It's so great.
I do too. And you're doing exercise.
And you're doing
as you're picking berries.
You are. And grapes. Grapes are like this full handful of wonderfulness that you just clip off from the vine.
Yes,
they're so good. So gardening, orcharding, mm-hmm. all those kinds of activities, and I would include beekeeping perhaps in that as well,
sure.
are all great activities that encourage you to get out, be outside, enjoy your garden, your landscape, and make friends.
Aw, I know, I love it.
Good. It's fun talking to you today.
It's always fun.
And
always fun talking with you, Linda.
We'll find something else interesting to talk to you about next time.
Yes.
Thank you, and bye.
Thank you, bye. Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell, Master Gardener Coordinator for Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and we are here at the Sonora office, the UCCE office, talking to Linda Reevely. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Debbie. I'm here today to talk about plant sales.
Yay! We love plant sales. Who doesn't?
We do. Our plant sales last year were very successful and seemed to make a good number of members of our community happy. Not to say that the Master Gardeners themselves did not buy a fair number of the plants, because we're the people who can't resist.
I know. We always buy them.
We do. But this coming year, we're going to have a plant sale at the April Open Garden Day, which is the first Saturday in April, the May Open Garden Day, which again is the first Saturday in May, and the June Open Garden Day, again, first Saturday of June. And we'll have a different variety of plants available at each sale, because some things that you can plant in April it's going to be too warm in June or in June to plant them. And some things that you can plant in June, it will be way too cold in April.
Okay.
But some of the things we will always have are tomatoes. And several of our members will plant and grow some really lovely heirloom tomatoes. There's been requests for a yellow tomato called Kellogg's Breakfast.
Ooh.
And I'm planting some of those right away to have available probably for the probably the June sale.
Okay.
Because it's really the safest time to put in tomatoes.
Here in this area.
I have a number of others that have been planted and are coming up, including the ever local favorite Sun Gold cherry tomatoes.
I have to admit, that's one of my favorites.
Sun Golds are like little drops of wonderfulness that grow in incredible profusion on a very nice, tidy plant. Oh. There's nothing not to love about them, and they're pretty.
They are. I consider them tomato candy.
Most people do. The rule at our house is that if the plants are really producing, you might get all the way from the backyard to the back door with some of them left.
They're so sweet.
And they are.
They're amazing.
They're absolutely delicious, and they're the most glorious shade of kind of orangish yellow ever. They just are really beautiful, and they're tasty.
Oh,
so we plan
absolutely.
To have some of those. Sometimes you can find them in other nurseries, but you could probably find them at our plant sale, because I planted a lot of them.
Oh, good.
There will be a number of other tomatoes available. We have a lot of heirloom tomatoes that we all like, and some that are only sort of semi-heirlooms. One of my very favorite tomatoes is the Ace 55.
Oh, okay.
Ace is not technically considered an heirloom because it was developed by seed companies, but it produces what I think is one of the most perfect medium-sized red tomatoes with delicious flavor out there, and they can beautifully. We'll have some plants of those probably available. Other ones, I'm hoping to have beefsteaks this year.
Ooh, beefsteaks are always wonderful.
They kind of went out of fashion. You know, tomatoes, like many things, seem to have annual fashion. They come, they go.
Oh, yeah.
Beefsteaks have all of a sudden come right back into the forefront as being super desirable. A beefsteak tomato is usually big enough that it will fill up both of your hands.
Oh, yes,
you can
definitely
slice one of them and make a lovely tomato and bread sandwich.
Yes, and you're not going to believe it. That is so good.
And they're just the best. I love a nice beefsteak tomato.
I do too.
A tiny caveat with those is you really need to make sure that you're getting enough calcium into your soil.
Mm.
This can be done with crushed eggs, with mineral calcium, and oddly enough, with wood fire ashes.
Oh. Now,
if you burn hardwoods like oak,
right,
and you have ashes left over from your wood stove or your fireplace, you can use that to put into your tomato beds, and it will up the calcium levels. Also,
I got to go back though. How much wood ash?
If you're spreading it out over an area, it probably shouldn't be any thicker than about 3/8 of an inch.
Okay, so a very thin layer.
It's a thin layer of wood ash. But you'll notice it disappears. And you can also top dress afterwards, after your tomatoes are planted, and it helps keep ants away from them.
The wood ash does?
It does.
Because
it's basic rather than acidic.
Okay.
It interferes with the chemicals on ants, and they don't like it, and it pushes them away.
That's a great tip.
Yep. Wood ash is a good way to keep tomatoes free of stupid things like ants. I just think ants are so annoying. We will probably be growing cucumbers in cups for the June sale.
Okay.
Cucumbers need to be planted right away when you take them home. Just remember,
right,
they grow fast and you want to get them in the ground quickly. But we understand a local favorite are lemon cucumbers, and I've already bought seed and plan to have available lemon cucumbers.
Those are wonderful too.
They're crisp, little, delicious cucumbers. I really like them. I'm also planting a few varieties of eating cucumbers and a couple, perhaps, of canning cucumbers to make pickles with.
Ooh.
Because they're different kinds.
Yes. That's great.
If I'm lucky, and I'm not going to guarantee anything, I will have a bunch of those available for the sale.
Oh, good.
So that's kind of a fun thing. Some things that grow really well to get started early, because they are semi-tropical, are peppers. And we have many members who are very fond of some very interesting peppers. And we hope to have pepper plants available for sale as well, and maybe some rarer varieties. I'm planning on having padrones, those little Spanish peppers that fry.
I'm not familiar with those.
Oh, all over Spain, when you go for tapas, those little dishes that you can buy and maybe have a glass of wine while you're eating them.
Right.
One of them is fried padrones. And the padrone pepper is a small pepper. It's about 2.5 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
They're light green.
Mm-hmm.
You fry them very quickly in a little olive oil and sprinkle coarse salt over them. And you just can't stay out of them. They are so tasty. Pick them up by their little stems and eat them with the seeds and all.
That sounds amazing.
And about 1 out of 10 of them has a little heat. The rest
just
of them are
just 1 out of 10.
I know. So it's like this little
it's a
tiny
surprise.
Yeah, it's a little tiny culinary gamble that you play with yourself when you eat them.
Well, that's fun.
And when you hit the hot one, it's like, oh, that was so good. It's just really a delight.
That is fun.
And they're, like I say, they're fabulous bar food that you find all over Spain.
Oh my gosh.
And I really like them.
I can't wait.
Oh yeah.
I'm probably going to buy one.
A Japanese variety that's quite similar and can be used in the same way is the shishito pepper, S-H-I-S-H-T-I-T-O.
Okay.
And those are very similar fried, but very few of those have much of a heat kick.
All right.
Yeah.
That
they're delicious,
good too.
but you kind of don't have the little gambling aspect.
The gambling.
Yeah.
Where is that hot one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, is this it? Yeah, they're really quite fun. We have a number of other things available, herbs, perennials, and some succulents. We have friends who grow succulents.
Fun.
So please come to our open garden sale, open garden days, and enjoy our plant sales. And thank you for listening. This is Linda Reevely and Debbie Powell, and we appreciate your being in our audience.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.